إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة في الله، أحييكم بتحية الإسلام، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إنه لشيء يثلج الصدور ويدخل على النفس الفرحة والسعادة أن نرى إخوة قد جاءوا من مناطق شتى، بعضهم من هذه البلاد وبعضهم من خارج هذه البلاد، لطلب العلم وتلقي العلم وإحياء سنة السلف في السفر والخروج في طلب العلم. وإننا نعتقد أن هذه الدورات بداية الفتح المبين لبلاد الكفر إن شاء الله، وتفجر الخيرات، لأنه بالعلم تقوم الأمم وتحيا الشعوب. والله عز وجل قد بين منازل العلماء: يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات، إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. فالعلماء هم أمناء الله، هم أمناء الخلق على شرعه، وهم ورثة الأنبياء. وإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما، وإنما ورثوا العلم. فهذه الوجوه المشرقة بنور الكتاب والسنة، نرجو الله عز وجل أن تكون من طلبة العلم العاملين بعلمهم، السائرين على درب السلف الصالح، الذين يحملون هذه الدعوة وينطلقون بها على بصيرة وصدق وإخلاص، ليكونوا سببا في هداية الخلق في هذه الديار وفي غيرها. إن إحياء الدورات العلمية خصوصا في هذه البلاد من أعظم السنن ومن أفضل الصدقات الجارية. ولذلك هذه بداية وأول الغيث قطرة، لكننا نرى قطرات ولله الحمد، وسيتبع هذا الخير خير. وإخوانكم ومشايخكم طلاب العلم لن يدخروا جهدا في نفعكم وإفادتكم وتحمل المشاق في سبيل هذا الهدف النبيل الذي فيه نصرة للحق وأهله في أرض الباطل. نسأل الله لنا ولكم التوفيق والسداد والرشاد، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. أما مادتي التي سأدرسها في هذه الدورة فهي قواعد في أصول التجويد وتطبيقات على رواية حفص وشعبة لجزئي تبارك وعمة إن شاء الله تعالى، مع تصحيح للتلاوة. وهذا الأمر من أولويات الطلب في الحقيقة. ولذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: الماهر بالقرآن مع السفرة الكرام البررة، والذي يقرأ القرآن ويتعتع فيه وهو عليه شاق له أجران. ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: اقرأوا كما علمتم. وذكر صلى الله عليه وسلم أن إقراء القرآن تعلما وتعليما أنه سبب للخيرية، أو تنال به الخيرية: خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. ومن هنا نحن نتعلم كتاب الله لنتلوه حق تلاوته، ولنعمل به، وليكون لنا إماما، ولنصير إليه ونتحاكم إليه في كل شؤوننا. وفقنا الله وإياكم لما يحب ويرضى، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وسلم.
The Shaykh حفظه الله began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salah and the salam to an-Nabi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He continued by reciting the famous Khutbatul Hajjah that we are all aware of, that I will not reiterate for you. He then continued and said, we proceed by saying, Amma ba'd. My brothers and sisters, I greet you with the tahiyya of al-Islam, and he mentioned to you, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is something of great pleasure and a source of great happiness, and something that opens our breaths and allows us to enjoy and relish the moment when we look and perceive many of our brothers and sisters who have gathered from the different areas, from the city of London itself and from the surrounding areas, and in fact from different countries. Those who have gathered to acquire the knowledge, al-ilm, which is going to be a source of benefit for themselves, and those whom they will carry it back to. And also to reminisce about the times of a Salaf al-Salih and remember and learn from the remnant and the statements that the Salaf have brought to us. He says, this inshaAllah is a sign that this seminar is a clear beginning and opening to the Islamization and the spread of the true da'wah of al-Islam in these lands, of the lands of those who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he began by reminding us of the importance of the scholars of al-Islam and the importance of scholarship and learning the knowledge of the Qur'an and the Sunnah, always in accordance to the statements of As-Salaf As-Salih, by reciting to us the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I, as a translator, I add to you that from here on in, any of the verses that are mentioned to you in the English language, do not perceive them as being a literal translation. The English language, any translation, it is not the Qur'an. The Qur'an will only be in the Arabic language. But the translation you receive, it is the perceived meaning according to the translator, and we will try to be faithful to that of the noble Qur'an, inshaAllah. The Shaykh reminds us of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which he says what means. Allah surely elevates those of you who have belief, and elevates along with them those who have knowledge. As well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who truly fear Allah, those who have the true fear of Allah, are those from you who are the scholars, those who have knowledge of this faith. As well, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the authentic hadith, he says and reminds that the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. And surely the prophets did not bequest or leave behind any form of money, dirham or dinar. What they left behind was knowledge. And the one who takes this knowledge, acquires it from the scholars, learns this ilm, has taken something great. And therefore the Shaykh began to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the knowledge that you will acquire in these next few days that which will be beneficial for yourselves and others, and to make it a source of guidance and something where you will gain basira and insight into the true understanding of our religion. Therefore we begin today, and we will continue in this seminar, and we will continue with seminars to follow, calling to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a knowledge-based environment to the manhaj of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate this. He continued by saying, as for the class that I will be instructing you in, it shall be summaries and understandings of the rules of tajweed, especially pertaining to the recitation of juz amma and tabarak, the last two juz of the Qur'an. The Shaykh will go over it with you, point out the differences of the tajweed. He will stress especially two different recitations, that of Hafs and Shu'bah. And this will be something that will be of great benefit. He reminds you of the importance of studying the Qur'an and learning it by saying, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who is skilled in the recitation of the Qur'an and is fluent in it shall be at the level of the scribes who are most honorable, meaning the angels. As for the one who finds difficulty in the recitation of the Qur'an, وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ, and it's hard for him to recite with fluency, he is given twice or two times or double the reward. So therefore do not be deterred from learning of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also reminded you of the statement of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Rasul instructed, recite as you have been taught, meaning that you do not recite according to your own way or mode of recitation. You are bound to the dictates on the rules of tajweed. And therefore the Shaykh will instruct you in these rules inshaAllah. And third, he reminded us of the famous statement of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he ended with as a final hadith and legacy to you. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of you, khayrukum, The best of you is the one who learns the Qur'an and then teaches it to others. So this is the point that we will begin with you in these seminars, inshaAllah. He ended by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow the knowledge that will be gained to be something that will be beneficial for you in the worldly life and the hereafter for yourselves and others.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فمادتي إن شاء الله التي سأدرسها إليكم هي مادة العقيدة والمنهج وهذه المادة جزء من هذا العمل المبارك بإذن الله تعالى وسيكون إن شاء الله درسنا من كتاب أصول السنة للإمام أحمد بن حنبل الشيباني رحمه الله تعالى ولا شك أن مثل هذا الدرس يعرفكم أهمية هذه الدورة ويعرفكم أهمية العلم عموما في الهداية إلى النجاة والخروج من الضلال فإن المسلمين قد تفرقوا كما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وستفترق أمتي هذه على 73 فرقة فذكر أن اليهود والنصارى قد افترقوا ثم ذكر أن أمته ستفترق فالافتراق ثابت بالنقل الصحيح ثم هو ثابت بالواقع الذي تعيشه أمة الإسلام عبر التاريخ الماضي وعبر هذه الأعوام التي نعيشها كذلك فكل المسلمين يشهدون أن المسلمين تفرقوا فأين الصواب وأين الحق وأين طريق النجاة في وسط هذه الفرق المختلفة افترقت اليهود على 71 فرقة افترقت النصارى على 72 فرقة قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وستفترق أمتي هذه على 73 فرقة كلها في النار أي متوعدة بالنار إلا واحدة فيهم المسلم أن يعرف أين هذه الفرقة ما هي هذه الفرقة الواحدة ما هي الفرقة الناجية ما هي الطائفة المنصورة وإذا كان ذلك لا يعرف بالعلم فكيف يعرف فبارك الله فيكم العلم الذي تحرصون عليه والعلم الذي يترتب عليه عمل العقيدة التي تتعلمونها هي العقيدة التي تسكن وتستقر في القلوب ويترتب عليها منهج يترتب عليها السلوك للصراط المستقيم صراط الله سبيل النجاة سبيل النجاة من غضب الله وعذابه سبيل النجاة من الضلال والانحراف ومن البدع والضلالات فهذا يبين لكم أهمية حضور مثل هذه الدورة ويبين لكم أهمية العلم عموما ويبين لكم أن الأمر ليس مجرد تحصيل معلومات بل هو سبب للنجاة من غضب الله وعذابه وسبب للنجاة من الانحراف والبدع والضلالات نسأل الله سبحانه أن يحيينا على التوحيد والسنة وأن يتوفانا على التوحيد والسنة وأن يحشرنا تحت لواء التوحيد والسنة إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم
الشيخ our teacher and beloved elder الشيخ أبو حاتم أسامة القوسي حفظه الله began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salat and the salam to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then continued by saying, as for my topic, I shall be instructing you in the topic of aqidah and manhaj. And this is an integral part of this seminar and this program, justifiably. He continued by saying, we will focus our attention and study in depth the book Usul al-Sunnah, which is the statement and the aqidah of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. We shall study it as a source of knowledge so that we can gain guidance, and in gaining guidance and implementing it, we will attain salvation. And this is the reason that you are here. He reminds us of the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the authentic hadith, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, my ummah shall disband into 73 sects. The Shaykh paused and said, we establish that the ummah will disband, we are sure of this, first through naqs, through the textual evidence. It's clear that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. And also we establish it by the waqa, what we see and perceive around us. So we do not belie the words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we establish it. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, surely the Jews disbanded into 71 different groups and sects. And the Christians thereafter disbanded into 72 different groups and sects. And from my ummah, there shall be those who will disband into 73 different groups or sects. All of them have been promised the fire. All of them will enter the fire, meaning that they have been promised to enter the fire for this specific evil deed, because they stray away from the true aqidah and manhaj. This does not mean they shall remain therein forever. They are promised this torment as a source of punishment. All of them shall enter except one of these 73. When he was asked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is this one saved group and victorious group, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he answered by saying, those who are upon what I and my companions are upon today. Therefore, the Shaykh reminds you, you are not here collecting and gathering information to fill your books with. What you are actually going to gain is the source of guidance that will attain you salvation. What you are learning isn't textual evidence. Rather, it is what you need to save yourself from being included with these destroyed groups who have been promised punishment. The Shaykh therefore asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who will be gathered with the people of Sunnah, who will be brought out of our graves and gathered with the people of Sunnah and entered into the Jannah with the people of Sunnah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن والاه. وبعد, فمما يثلج الصدر أن نرى هذه الوجوه قد أقبلت على تعلم دينها وعلى التفرغ لذلك, فإن هذا من أعظم نعم الله سبحانه وتعالى علينا وعليكم, وبخاصة في هذه البلاد التي تلهث وراء الدنيا وراء المادة. واعلموا يا أحبائي بارك الله فيكم أن الله سبحانه وتعالى أحيا البشرية عامة, أو أحيا البشرية بعامة, وأحيا هذه الأمة بخاصة بالعلم. فالعلم هو المبتدأ وهو المنتهى, فعندما خلق الله آدم كرمه بالعلم, قال سبحانه وتعالى وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها. وعندما ختم النبوات بنبوة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنزل عليه أول ما أنزل قوله تعالى اقرأ, فأمة محمد أمة اقرأ, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق, خلق الإنسان من علق, اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم, علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. ولذلك إذا نزع العلم من الأمة نزع الخير والبركة, فما عبدت الأصنام في أول البشرية إلا بسبب رفع العلم. فقد صح عن ابن عباس موقوفا وهو مرفوع حكما أنه قال في بيان سبب عبادة أصنام قوم نوح, قال لما طال الأمد وتنسخ العلم عبدت من دون الله. فانظروا بارك الله فيكم, عندما رفع العلم وطال الأمد على القوم كفروا بربهم وأشركوا به سبحانه وتعالى. وهذا ما يحدث في آخر الزمان, حيث يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن بين يدي الساعة أياما يرفع فيها العلم وينزل فيها الجهل ويكثر فيها الهرج والزنا. قال وما الهرج يا رسول الله؟ قال القتل. إذن بسبب رفع العلم أيضا تكثر المعاصي وتكثر الموبقات, ويجترئ الناس على حرمات الله سبحانه وتعالى. ولا بد للطالب أن يجثو على ركبه ليتعلم دينه. فالعلم ليس بالأماني وليس بالظنون والأوهام وليس بالدعاوى، فالعلم لا ينال براحة الجسم. ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما العلم بالتعلم وإنما الفقه بالتفقه. ولذلك جاء توفيق الله تبارك وتعالى لإخوانكم طلاب العلم بأن كانوا سببا في بعث هذه الدورات في بلاد الغرب في أمريكا وفي أوروبا وفي هذه البلاد، لكي يتعلم المسلمون في هذه البلاد دينهم. وطالب العلم يا إخواني ينبغي ألا يشبع من العلم، فلذلك قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وقل ربي زدني علما. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من همان لا يشبعان، طالب علم وطالب دنيا. وأما المادة التي سأدرسها بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى وتوفيقه فهي علم الحديث ومصطلحه. وعلم الحديث من الأهمية بمكان، فقد نص كثير من أهل العلم على أن أصل العلوم هو علم الحديث، فإليه يرجع المفسر، وإليه يرجع الواعظ، وإليه يرجع الفقيه، وإليه يرجع الأصولي، وإليه يرجع النحوي، وكل أهل العلم يرجعون إلى علم الحديث، لأنه علم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، والمبين لكتاب الله والمبين لمراد الله هو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقد اخترت كتابا من أهم كتب مصطلح الحديث، وهو كتاب المقدمة الموقظة للإمام المؤرخ الحافظ الذهبي رحمه الله تبارك وتعالى، تلميذ شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية عليه رحمة الله تبارك وتعالى. وهذا الكتاب يعني سلس العبارة، مختصر مفيد إن شاء الله، وقد شرحته في كتاب آخر هو كفاية الحفظة شرح المقدمة الموقظة، نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن ينفع به. أوصي إخواني ونفسي في هذه الدورة بما يلي: الانتباه والتيقظ، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول: وما جعل الله لرجل ما جعل الله لرجل من قلبين في جوفه. فلا بد أن تفرغ ذهنك وعقلك وفؤادك من شواغل الصوارف عن الاستفادة من المشايخ. الأمر الآخر: المواظبة على التبكير لمجالس العلم، فهذه سنة من سنن السلف رحمهم الله، التبكير لمجالس العلم. كان الإمام شعبة الحجاج يقول: إذا رأيت رجلا يجري في الشارع فاعلم أنه مجنون أو طالب حديث. الأمر الآخر هو ألا نتكل على حفظنا، فإن الحفظ خوة، بل لابد أن نذاكر ونتابع، فإن إحياء العلم مذاكرته، ولا بد لذلك من تقييد العلم، لا بد من تقييده، وتقييده كتابته، ولا نركن إلى الشريط. فلا بد أن تقيد بنفسك وبيدك، فإن ما تقيده بنفسك وبيدك أرسخ في ذهنك وأبقى في صدرك. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا وإياكم، وأن يكمل لنا نعمته بنجاح هذه الدورة التي إن شاء الله ستكون منطلقا وبعثا جديدا لهذه الدعوة المباركة في بلاد الغرب، ولتعلمن نبأه بعد حين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
The Shaykh Hafidhahullah began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salah and the salam to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amma ba'd, he continued: It is with great delight that we have the opportunity to sit in front of you and to glance out at this large amount of brothers and sisters who are here, who have come with brightened faces to seek knowledge. And this is even more pleasing, knowing that we are in a land, in Britain, where the primary concern for the majority of its inhabitants is other than seeking this true Islamic knowledge. They are concerned with the dunya and other insignificant matters. we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the source of honor that He has bestowed to humanity in general, is that He has given them the ability to gather and to learn and to understand, to discover things. And of this we see that the most important honoring or honorable trait given to Adam is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ, Allah allowed Adam to recognize and to learn all, and taught Adam to understand all things, the names of all things, and what they are comprised and their characteristics. Also we see that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first injunction and order given to him was اقرأ, read and recite. And therefore our ummah is the ummah, as the Shaykh says, the ummah of اقرأ, the ummah of recite, understand, read, learn and discover. And this is an important trait that we must cultivate. We see in the statement of Ibn Abbas, which is narrated in a mawquf statement, you will soon discover what this word means from the teachings of the Shaykh Hafidahullah, wherein he states that Nuh alayhi salam, before his time, that the people were upon a state of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then knowledge was removed from them, and then they entered into shirk. The first and primary source of shirk and its institution was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed knowledge from the people who were present during those times. And therefore we see that the Shaykh continued by saying that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that before the day of judgment, certain things and events shall take place. From them, knowledge shall be raised and it will be found in a deficient amount amongst the inhabitants of the earth immediately before the day of judgment. And this is a catalyst and a result of that there will be an increasement in fornication, in consuming alcohol, and in murders, wherein a person will be killed not knowing why he was killed, and the person who murdered not knowing why he murdered that specific individual. What is the reason? Is because knowledge is not present. So that is the catalyst. And therefore, knowledge, the Shaykh reminds you, he's going to give you advice. He says, knowledge, it is not something that you will attain by sitting and relaxing. It is something that you must work for, you must sacrifice for, and you must give your time for. So knowledge is not attained with ease, it is attained with sacrifice. He continued by saying that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the authentic hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمِ, surely knowledge is only acquired by التعلم, by seeking it and sitting and studying it and seeking to learn. So you cannot just sit and think you will be given knowledge. You have to seek and search for it. As such, you will see that the students of knowledge are in constant search for knowledge. He gives us this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in Surah Taha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the messenger, and therefore orders the collective ummah by saying, وَقُلْ, pray to me, make this invocation to me, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. So that means that you can never have too much knowledge. So therefore you are in a constant search. The Shaykh says, as for my topic, I will be discussing with you, and the Shaykh is Abu Usama Salim ibn Eid al-Hilali, Hafidahullah. He shall be discussing with you, which is his specialty, and how could it be otherwise when he is the student of the Muhaddith of Asham, rahmatullahi alayh, al-Shaykh al-Albani, al-Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah. How can it be otherwise? The Shaykh says, the topic that I will discuss with you is al-Hadith and its mustalah. Hadith, its nomenclature, its terminology. How the structure and the classifications of hadith. He says, this is something that is the cornerstone of all of the other religious knowledge. The mufassir must return to the muhaddith. What do you think of this hadith? Is this hadith valid? To see if this brings the true tafsir of the ayah. The faqih cannot use a hadith to derive and extract a legislated. It cannot be a legislative source unless the hadith is deemed authentic by the scholars of hadith. So it is the founding cornerstone, the stepping stone to all of the other Islamic sciences and disciplines. My advice to you, he says, Hafidahullah, pay attention. Simple. Be alert and pay attention. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah has not placed in the heart of a single person, in the chest of one individual, two hearts. Meaning you can't have two different things that you're thinking of at the same time. You're either here in body and in mind, or you're elsewhere, even if you are present in body. Then the Shaykh says, number two, never be late, arrive on time. And he gives us the famous statement of Imam Shu'ba, and this is something that is important for us to understand, to see what the Salaf used to do. Shu'ba, he said, you will not see a man running in the street except he is one of two. Either he is a person who has lost his mental faculties, he is in a state of insanity, or he is a student of hadith running to the class. Those are the two types of people that were found during their times. He then gives you the third and final bequest and legacy so that you will attain the full benefit by saying, قَيِّدُ الْعِلْمِ. Write down what you hear. Don't rely on your memory and don't say, I will purchase the tape and listen to it. Surely writing it down is the primary source of retaining the information for yourself and others, so that you will have it as something that is in front of you, present, and study it. He says, write it down and study it.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فما نحن فيه في هذا اللقاء الميمون خير وفقنا الله إليه ونعمة أنعم الله بها علينا، وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها وما بكم من نعمة فمن الله. وتوفيق الله تبارك وتعالى من علامة رضاه على عبده، وما توفيقي إلا بالله. وإذ الأمر كذلك، فيجب على العبد الموفق لهذه الطاعة أن يزيد صلته بربه، وأن يعيش على أمل بجناحين يحلق فيهما في هذا العمل، وذلك العلم، جناح الرجاء بالله وجناح الخوف من الله. وهذا العلم والتعلم والتعليم هو القاعدة والأساس التي يجب أن يبنى عليها توجيه الناس، فلقد سئم العامة والخاصة، طرائق الأحزاب والأفكار والطرائق والمذاهب التي تستثمر عواطفهم وحماساتهم لأمور آنية ولأغراض غير ثنية، يحزبونهم ويبعدونهم عن الحق ويدنونهم إلى ما هم فيه من مخالفة الحق. لذلك ما يقومون به من مهرجانات ومظاهرات واعتصامات إلى آخر هذه الأمور، كل ذلك ينعكس عليهم بالسوء ويرجع إليهم بالردى. ولقد مضى منا حين من الدهر نعقد الندوات والمؤتمرات، ولا شك أن فيها خيرا، وخيرا طيبا، لكونها مرتبطة بمنهج السلف ومؤصلة على التقعيد العلمي. لكن التأمل الواعي والنظر البصير جعلنا بعد طول نظر وتفكير نعلم أن الفائدة الكبرى ليست في تلك الندوات والمؤتمرات، وإن كانت لا تخلو من فائدة جيدة كما أسلفت، لكن الفائدة الكبرى في مثل هذه الدورات العلمية، لأنها تؤصل وتحصن صاحبها، فينطلق بعبادته واعيا بصيرا عارفا متفقها، يعلم ما له وما عليه، وينطلق من أرض ثابتة بأقدام راسخة. ومما ينبغي ألا يغيب عن أذهاننا أيها الإخوة في الله، ليس فقط في هذا العلم أو في هذه الدورة العلمية، وليس في عمل فرد، بل في كل عمل يجب ألا يغيب عنا استحضار النية بالإخلاص لله، وألا يكون شيء من ذلك فينا بغية دنيا أو رئاسة أو تصدر، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من تعلم العلم ليماري به السفهاء أو يجاري به العلماء أو يلفت أنظار الناس فالنار النار، وفي رواية: أو يتصدر به في المجالس فالنار النار. فأمر النية يجب أن يكون منعقدا القلب عليه ومطمئنا العقل به. وأما هذه الدورة التي اشتملت على هذه العلوم الأربعة، العقيدة والقرآن والفقه والحديث، فهي أصول العلم الشرعي التي من خلاله تبنى الشخصية المسلمة وتؤصل قواعدها وتقعد أصولها، بحيث من كان صاحب عقيدة فإن الشبهات لا ترد إليه ولا تقف عنده، ومن كان صاحب فقه فإنه يعبد ربه على بصيرة، ومن كان ذا معرفة بكتاب الله كان عنده ما يصحح صلاته وما يزيد به بربه صلاته. وأما السنة فهي الذكر الثاني بعد كتاب الله: نزلنا إليك الذكر لتبين للناس ما نزل إليهم. فبه يعرف العبد هدي نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم، ويميز من خلاله ما صح مما لم يصح مما يتوارد على ألسنة الخطباء والوعاظ أو يرد على أسنان أقلامهم. وأما الكتاب الذي أنا بصدده فهو كتاب منهج السالكين، لمن أراد الفقه أو توضيح الفقه في الدين، منهج السالكين وتوضيح الفقه في الدين، للشيخ العلامة عبد الرحمن بن ناصر بن سعدي، وهو شيخ الشيخ ابن عثيمين وأستاذه ومعلمه. فإذا كان حال التلميذ كما تعرفون جميعا فكيف يكون حال أستاذه وشيخه؟ ومن نافلة القول أن أذكر في هذا المقام وبه الختام أننا لن نستطيع إتمام هذا الكتاب، لأنه كتاب كبير على وجازة صفحاته وقلة أوراقه، لكنه ثر المعلومات، غزير البيانات، كبير الفوائد. فنسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يعيننا على إتمامه ولو في دورات قادمة، سائلين الله تبارك وتعالى التوفيق والسداد والهدى والرشاد، إنه سبحانه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الشيخ أبو الحارث علي بن حسن الحلبي حفظه الله began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salat and the salam to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Know that we are all gathered today seeking goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be our primary objective and our reason for gathering and congregating together. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are to try and account for all of the graces and blessings bestowed upon you by Allah, you will be unable to account for all of them. And we state that surely our success is only from Allah. Knowing this, it is important to understand that to be successful in this worldly life and in the hereafter, it must be in something that will bring you closer to Allah, meaning ta'ah, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And seeking knowledge is one of these ways and roads and paths that lead you and is of seeking the obedience and practicing and being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is important that while you are seeking to come near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have the fear of Allah along with the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are two things that are inseparable. For this is what will keep you balanced upon the correct path. That you hope in Allah's mercy, yet you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind you that this is of the most pertinent thing that you are to gather from these sessions. That which will give you hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remind you, and which will instill the fear and the consciousness of Allah in your heart. Knowledge is the foundation. It is the asli. It is the primary thing that we are all in need of. You will see many of those around you, whether they're collective organizations or individuals, calling people, calling others, calling organizations, calling parties to protest or to do this or this or this. Frivolous activities that are not founded upon the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore there is no success in it, because it is not based on the knowledge and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, this is why we decided, the students of knowledge who you see displayed before you today, to institute these seminars. Although we have attended numerous symposiums in all of the differing, varying countries throughout the world, we have attended symposiums and conferences, although there is great barakah, and we would attend them because it is a source of calling to the way of a Salaf al-Salih, we established and we recognized that the greatest benefit, although there is benefit in the conferences, undoubtedly, the greatest benefit is in gathering with students for a longer period of time, focused on primary issues that will be of great importance to them in their worldly life, as well as in preparation for the hereafter. And thus you see this goal has been attained in coming to you and sitting with you for these few days, focusing our attention to the main disciplines of Islam. These five main disciplines, Aqidah, Manhaj, Quran, Hadith, these disciplines that we will be discussing with you, these four and five disciplines, are the founding blocks of the faith of Al-Islam. And therefore we will address each of them in as much fluidity as possible. And we will try to go in depth, even if it means that we cannot cover the topic in one seminar, we will come back over and over in a continuous effort to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh reminds you, as always, as being students of knowledge who are coming to learn, you must have the correct intention. You cannot come seeking, as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the Shaykh reminds us in the hadith, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the one who comes and acquires and seeks to acquire knowledge, to be able to speak with the fools and make himself look higher and elevated above them, make them think that he is intelligent, or to debate the true scholars, to try to debate them and pretend that he is a scholar like them, or to have those who don't really know what's going on look to him and think he is a scholar, فَالنَّارُ النَّارُ. Let him prepare for the fire, let him prepare for the fire. Your primary source of seeking to learn the religion is to perfect your worldly life by learning and attaining this guidance, in instilling it so that you will attain salvation in the Akhirah. So we will discuss with you these five main disciplines of Al-Islam. And this is something that if you gain and you understand and you have the correct intention, you will not be easily led astray from the true path, the path of a Salaf al-Salih. We will look to the Book of Allah and we will look to the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the primary and secondary sources of Islamic legislation. And we will understand the importance and how they are intertwined and merged together, knowing that what is in the Qur'an must be supported and is always in conjunction and supported with the Sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He continued by saying, the topic that I will be discussing with you is al-fiqh, is understanding the makeup and the ahkam, the religious injunctions of the religion of al-Islam. And we will be focusing, although it is a small book in size and number of pages, the Shaykh will be discussing with you the book of a Shaykh, Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di, which is Manhaj al-Salikin, the path of those who are seeking tawdih, who are those who are seeking a clear explanation of al-fiqh, of the religion. It's a simple treatise on Islam, on Islamic fiqh, yet it's diminutive size in pages and numbers needs a great deal of explanation. So we will not finish and complete the whole book with you in one or two seminars. But we will give you the main important points that you will use throughout, and we will continue it as we come and visit you regularly. We remind you the importance of the author, Sheikh Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di. He is the Sheikh of Al-Imam Ibn Uthaymeen Rahmatullahi Alayhi. If that is the student, imagine the teacher. Sheikh is telling you, if Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen was the student, think of who his teacher must have been, if that is the product that was brought out. So therefore, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate for us benefit in what we will learn, to correct our intention, and to make us those who will seek success in the worldly life, and therefore earn it in the akhirah. And he continued by saying, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Do we begin with the
first? هناك تنبيه من الإخوة يقولون أن الامتحان سيكون يوم الأحد صباح الأحد. امتحانات ستكون صباح الأحد وتوزيع الشهادات سيكون في المساء إن شاء الله سبحانه وتعالى. وستكون الشهادات إن شاء الله باسم مركز الإمام الألباني رحمة الله عليه. هذا وبالله التوفيق.
The Sheikh adds, the Sheikh Abu Usama Hafizahullah adds an important point. Your final exam will be this coming Sunday. This coming Sunday, in the morning period, you will have your final exams. This is important. Please write this down and take note. That afternoon will be the moment that the Shuyukh Hafizahumullah will be gathered with you and give you your certificates. And your certificates will not be in the name of the masjid here. In fact, you will be receiving a certificate from Markaz Al-Imam Al-Albani, the Jordanian Institute. It is the institute that is founded in Jordan. It will be something that will be given to you by the primary teachers of this institute, Al-Mashayikh Hafizahumullah. So you will receive a certificate that is authenticated from the institute, not something of a body from Britain or so forth. So this is also a great virtue that will be given and granted to you, inshaAllah. Nah. Inshallah, there's a few important announcements. We're going to be beginning the first topic, which is fiqh. The rest of the shuyukh, inshallah, they will take leave from you and they will enter for each of the course, each of their discussions. Those of you who arrive late, obviously you will not, inshallah, intend to arrive late at the least, you are to arrive and to enter from the doors on the other side of the building, this side of the building, to the left of me, which is to the right of you. Do not come in through these doors because it's something that will cause a great disturbance climbing over the people. If you come from this side, usually people tend to sit as soon as they enter. So this side will fill up before this side. So enter from this side of the room, inshallah, so there is less intrusion to the shuyukh. They don't see you walking all around. And sit in the nearest seat that you find empty and available. Now, so نبدأ الآن. نبدأ الآن. طيب. الفقه. The shuyukh will take leave from you. Please don't bombard them with questions or something. And this is also something I wish to request on behalf of the shuyukh. Actually, I forgot. They had requested for me to inform you. Since they are discussing many of the issues with you, they have taken time. In fact, the shuyukh have arrived from different countries where they were leading month-long courses. They've arrived here and they've come and they said the only reason they came was so that they show you that the trust that they have been given, that they are fulfilling it. In fact, they also will be returning. The same day they return back home is the day they will begin another month-long course in Jordan. So they, in this state, have been receiving many questions and there's a great burden placed upon them. So please treat them with the respect that they deserve. If you have a question, write it down. We will take it. I will translate it for them in the evening. We will collect for you the answers and we will have sessions of question and answer. Also between Asr and Maghrib, there will be a lecture given by each of the shuyukh. It will also be broadcast on Pal Talk. You can inform others who are not available to attend, inshallah. So please spread out the emails. So these are all things you will have your questions answered, inshallah. So if you would show the shuyukh some courtesy when they are leaving and when they are entering, do not badger them with questions or hold on to them, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair. حضرتك هتنتظر كل
نعم إخوان السلام عليكم. So that we can have a prompt start at 7 o'clock. Alhamdulillah, it's good to see the faces, mashallah, the ikhwah. And we get here 6:45. Now, those of you who are travelling across London, you know the rush hour times, inshallah. So we're up early for Fajr. You can come, get some rest in the masjid if you want, look at your notes and everything, have breakfast, it will be served. Likewise for sisters as well, inshallah ta'ala. Sisters, you might be thinking, why have we got the monitors up for you and you're just staring at a wall? What we are going to do, Ikhwan, this is not being recorded. This is not being recorded. For those of you who may be thinking it's being recorded, the monitors will be used for the whiteboard, sisters. So you'll see when the mashaykh or our brother, the translator, is writing up some of the things from the sheikh, that it will be put on the whiteboard. That is the reason for the monitors, not to be gazing at the mashaykh in that respect, inshallah. And I hope that doesn't cause any problem for anyone over in the sister's side. It shouldn't, inshallah. Without further ado, we're going to start with the lesson in the fifth class from our sheikh. And our sheikh, mashallah, because of the introduction and doesn't want to burden anyone, it's going to go on for approximately half an hour up until 8:30, and he will cover, because he is our sheikh, what he needs to cover in this first lesson.
Inshallah,
Now, with regards to the books, Afwan Ikhwan, the books that are in English, unfortunately, I think because some of them are out of print, we've got Manhaj al-Anbiya, which is available. With regards to the Arabic books, I believe they've come with Abu Suhaib, inshallah, and when he is here later, they will be available as well. I'm not sure of what books he's got. Even those of us who don't know the Lugha, for that we will learn it, inshallah. We can obtain those books as well. Bismillah, after this afternoon, we will have the books available, inshallah ta'ala. Bear with us, please, inshallah.
When we begin,
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen. نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فهذا أيها الإخوة في الله هو الدرس الأول من دروسنا المتعلقة بكتاب منهج السالكين وتوضيح الفقه في الدين للشيخ العلامة عبد الرحمن ابن ناصر ابن سعدي رحمه الله. قال المؤلف رحمه الله: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وبه نستعين. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذه أيها الإخوة خطبة الحاجة التي كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يبتدئ بها خطبه ومجالسه ودروسه. وقد ألف فيها شيخنا العلامة الإمام أسد السنة الهمام أبو عبد الرحمن محمد ناصر الدين الألباني، تغمده الله برحمته، ألف فيها رسالة مفردة كانت سبيلا ولله الحمد لإحياء هذه السنة التي خفيت وغابت عن كثير من الخطباء والمؤلفين في الأزمان والعصور المتأخرة، مع أن البداءة بها كانت طريقة لأكابر أهل العلم فالإمام الطحاوي كان يبتدئ بعض كتبه بهذه الخطبة، وشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية كان يبتدئ بعض كتبه بهذه الخطبة، وهكذا. ومما ينبه إليه في هذا المقام أن زيادة ونتوب إليه الواردة في كلام المصنف لم تصح في السنة ولم ترد، وإن كان هو لم يذكر أنها واردة في الحديث، لكن لا بد من التنبيه إلى ذلك خشية الالتباس فيما هنالك.
The Shaykh Hafidhahullah began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salat and the salam to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, this is our first lesson with you here in London, England, discussing with you the book Manhaj al-Salikin wa Tawdih al-Fiqh fi al-Din, written by Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di, the known allama, the known imam, and the known faqih. He began the book by stating, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And this is something that وَبِهِ نَسْتَعِينَ, and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we put our reliance with Him. Alhamdulillah, all praise are to, are due and for Allah alone. نَحْمَدُ, we praise Him solely. وَنَسْتَعِينُ, we put our reliance in Him. وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ, we turn to Him seeking His forgiveness. وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ, and we turn to Him in repentance. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا, we seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our own selves and from the evil deeds that we may perform. The one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none shall lead astray. And the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads astray, none can be a source of guidance for him. I bear witness and I testify that there is no God or deity other than Allah, meaning worthy of worship other than Allah. And I bear witness and testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi, and upon his family wa sallam. Amma ba'd, the Shaykh paused in his reading of the text by stating, this is the famous khutbatul haja. Here is the commentary of the Shaykh. This is the famous khutbatul haja. Our Shaykh, meaning the Shaykh of our Shaykh hafidhahullah, asad al-sunnah, the lion of the sunnah, the one who defended the sunnah, الشيخ أبي عبد الرحمن الشيخ محمد ناصر الدين الألباني رحمه الله, wrote a book specifically dealing with this issue, discussing only the importance of this hadith and showing all of the chains of this hadith to remind the Muslim lecturers and authors and writers of the importance. Not that this was something that is newly discovered by الشيخ الألباني, rather الشيخ علي reminds us that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, also al-Tahawi, would introduce their books and begin the majority of their books with Khutbatul Haja, knowing its significance and importance. The Shaykh added to us a point of benefit by saying that in the text we see a Shaykh Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di, he states a word which is a ziyada, an increasement to Khutbatul Haja, which is not founded in the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the statement وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ, and we seek and we turn to Allah in repentance. Although Shaykh Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di does not establish that this is a statement of the Rasul, it is something that is implied implicitly. So therefore we state that there is no authentic narration that states وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ, rather there is no narration, whether strong or weak, that actually mentions this wording.
قال أما بعد, فهذا كتاب مختصر في الفقه جمعت فيه بين المسائل والدلائل, لأن العلم معرفة الحق بدليله. أقول أما أنه مختصر فنعم هو مختصر لكنه جامع, وقد درج أهل العلم على تأليف المختصرات والمتوسطات والمطولات حتى يتدرج طالب العلم في ذلك. فهذا الإمام ابن قدامة ألف كتاب الكافي وكتاب المقنع وكتاب المغني, كلها في الفقه وهي على درجات الوجيز أو المختصر والمتوسط والمطول. وكذلك الإمام الغزالي أو الغزالي صاحب إحياء علوم الدين, مع أن كتابه هذا عليه ملاحظات كثيرة وكثيرة جدا, لكنه كان فقيها من كبار فقهاء الشافعية, ألف ثلاثة كتب أيضا على ثلاث درجات, الوجيز والوسيط والبسيط, وهذه كلها كتب فقهية بتدرج. حتى ان الشيخ ابن سعدي نفسه رحمه الله له كتب في الفقه ايضا متوسعة، وان كانت على نحو مختصر ليس كمؤلفات ابن قدامة والغزالي، منها كتاب نور البصائر والألباب في الفقه، ومنها كتاب الإرشاد إلى معرفة الأحكام أيضا في الفقه، وهذا الكتاب الثالث الذي نحن بصدده وهو كتاب منهج السالكين. قال: جمعت فيه بين المسائل والدلائل، وهذا أقوى ما يمكن تصنيفه، الجمع بين المسألة ودليلها، وإن كان الدليل إنما يورد عند مسائل الاختلاف وعند اختلاف الأنظار والأفكار، أما مسألة مقررة ومحبرة فذكر الدليل فيها في كتاب مختصر قد لا يكون ذا نفع كبير للطلاب. قال: لأن العلم معرفة الحق بدليله، وهذه من قواعد العلم، العلم معرفة الحق بدليله، كما قال ابن القيم: العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله، ما ذاك والتقليد يجتمعان. التقليد هو تجريد العلم عن دلائله، وأما العلم المدلل المؤصل هو الذي يرتبط به الهدى ويناط به الحق، أما غير ذلك فلا يكون كذلك.
The Sheikh حفظه الله continued by reciting to us from the text by saying, the Sheikh continued by saying, أما بعد, to proceed. He said, this book, it is a concise treatise discussing al-fiqh. It is a concise book discussing al-fiqh. I have gathered in it the masail, the issues, and the proofs that relate to these issues. والدلائل. For surely knowledge is knowing the truth by its proof. Knowledge is knowing the truth by and from the truth. The Shaykh حفظه الله paused here by stating, we see that the Shaykh mentioned that this book is concise, yet I state it is concise yet encompassing all of the different issues. And this is something that the scholars have been accustomed to, that each of the scholars who were known to have a large, vast amount of knowledge, they would write books on three different levels dealing with the same issue. So for example, you will have Ibn Qudama, the Hanbali scholar of fiqh, he wrote a book, Al-Kafi, which is a basic book of fiqh. And then he wrote a book which is an intermediate level, which is Al-Muqni'. And then a book which is at a high level, which is Al-Mughni. Also we see Al-Ghazali, and we all know, as the Shaykh points out to us, that Imam Al-Ghazali, the past, not the contemporary Ghazali, the Ghazali of the past, it's important to point that out. The Ghazali of the past, he also, although he was known as a Shafi'i scholar, both, the Sheikh reminds me that both Ghazalis we have issues with. So it's not just this one or this one. He reminds me to tell you that both of them we have issues with. But the Ghazali of the past, he also, a Shafi'i scholar, wrote books on these three levels: Al-Wajiz, Al-Wasif, and Al-Basif. The encompassing, or Al-Basif, meaning it is spread out. All of the issues are covered in it. So we see that this was a common habit. Even a Sheikh Abdul Rahman, the author of this book, this is the most concise book that he wrote on fiqh. Although Sheikh Abdul Rahman was not at the level of the others, this basic book, he also wrote other books such as Al-Irshad, an intermediate level, and also Nur al-Basair, which is of a higher, more scholarly, more evidence-based, larger, more voluminous book. So this is something that was known, that they would write concise discussions even if they had written more encompassing books on the same topic. The Sheikh then continued by saying that he gathered in this book the issues and their proofs. Here the Sheikh tells us that this is the greatest source of benefit. That you mention what the issue is, and you don't just give the verdict, but in fact you give the verdict with the proof that supports it. And therefore this is an important attitude. As Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim, and I remind you as the translator, that the Sheikh حفظه الله, he's accustomed to giving verses of poetry, such as this poem, these abiyat of al-Imam al-Qayyim. Obviously, it's impractical for me to give you a literal translation. But the meaning of the verses of poetry of Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim was that the knowledge that one recognizes the truth from its dalil, with it, the heart is put to rest by understanding the proofs of the issues. Meaning you are given rest by knowing that it's not just the opinion of someone, but rather his opinion is based and established on a founding principle from the principles of Islam. For surely knowledge is knowing truth from and with its proofs. So this is where the Shaykh Hafidhahullah had concluded.
قال المصنف رحمه الله والفقه معرفة الأحكام الشرعية الفرعية بأدلتها من الكتاب والسنة والإجماع والقياس الصحيح. هذا هو تعريف الفقه، أنه مرتبط بالأحكام الفرعية، أي المرتبطة بأعمال العباد مما يتقربون فيه إلى الله تبارك وتعالى من صلاة وصيام ومعاملات من بيع وشراء ونكاح وطلاق إلى غير هذه الأمور، كل ذلك هو الفقه. وأما قوله الفرعية فيريد التمييز بينه وبين ما يتعلق بالأصول وهي العقائد وما أشبهها. أما ذكره للإجماع فالإجماع المعتبر هو إجماع الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم، وإن كان الإجماع في من بعدهم لا ينفى، لكنه صعب الوقوع ونادر الحصول. أما إجماع الصحابة فقد كانوا محصورين ومعروفين، وبالتالي فإن إحصاء إجماعهم واعتباره أمر لا يستصعب ولا يكون عسيرا. وأما قوله والقياس الصحيح يشير به إلى أن هنالك من القياس ما ليس صحيحا، وهو القياس الفاسد. فالقياس الصحيح هو القياس المبني على العلة المنصوص عليها، كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كل مسكر خمر وكل خمر حرام. فهذا واضح أن العلة فيما كان محرما مما يشرب الإسكار، فلو أن أحدا سكر بغير الخمر فإن الثمرة واحدة وهي الإسكار، فيكون القياس عليه لأنه منصوص العلة يكون صحيحا. وأما القياس الفاسد أو الأقيس الفاسدة فإنها المبنية على التوهمات العقلية وعلى الاستنباطات الذهنية التي أغفلها الشرع وأراد إيجادها وإرادها هؤلاء الذين يقايسون الأمور دون هدي من الله ولا سنة من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال واقتصرت على الأدلة المشهورة خوفا من التطويل. نعم، الاقتصار على الأدلة المشهورة، لأن أهل العلم أحيانا يذكرون على المسألة عشرات الأدلة، فلو أنه أراد أن يذكر الأدلة على كل مسألة مسألة لطال به القول وتضخم الكتاب على غير مقصود مؤلفه، فاقتصر من ذلك على أهم الأدلة وأشهرها. قال وإذا كانت المسألة خلافية، أي مما اختلف فيه أهل العلم، والحقيقة أن جل مسائل الفقه خلافية، لكن الخلاف فيه نوعان أو فيها نوعان. النوع الأول ما كان خلافا معتبرا مبنيا على دليل قوي أو شبهة دليل قوي، وثانيا أو وثانيها ما كان غير ذلك مما هو مبني على الاستحسان أو الأقيسة الفاسدة أو الآراء العقلية وما أشبه ذلك، فهذا الخلاف فيه ضعيف وواهد. لذلك قال من قال من أهل العلم وليس كل خلاف جاء معتبرا إلا خلاف له حظ من النظر. قال اقتصرت على القول الذي ترجح عندي تبعا للأدلة الشرعية. الذي ترجح عندي يشير إلى أن الراجح قد يتعدد عند أصحابه، ما ترجح عندي قد لا يترجح عنده، ما يترجح عند العلامة ابن سعدي قد لا يترجح عند تلميذه الشيخ ابن عثيمين. لذلك يخطئ كثير من الناس خطأ لفظيا عندما يقولون سائلين بعض الأشياخ ما ما هو الحق في هذه المسألة أو ما هو الراجح؟ تقول نعم هو الراجح عندي، لكن ما قد يكون راجحا عندي قد لا يكون راجحا عند غيري، لكن هذا لا يمنع من البيان والتدليل والانتصار كما هو منهج أهل العلم وكما هي طريقتهم في سائر مصنفاتهم في مسائل الخلاف المشهورة. أما قوله تبعا للأدلة الشرعية فهذه الحقيقة إشارة غالية تبين أن الترجيح العلمي إنما يكون تبعا للدليل، لا يكون تبعا للمصالح المتغيرة، لا يكون تبعا للوقائع العصرية، لا يكون تبعا للاستحسانات الشخصية، وإنما يكون ذلك كله تبعا للأدلة الشرعية. ونحن نرى في هذا الزمان بعض من يشار إليهم بالبنان ممن يتصدرون ويتكلمون في كل زمان ومكان، ممن يجعلون ترجيحاتهم مبنية على هذه الأمور التي ليس للشرع فيها نصيب وليس للأدلة فيها مجال، فإذا بهم يرجحون على حسب ما يريح الناس وعلى حسب ما يجمعونهم نحوهم ويوجهونهم إليهم، لذلك فإنهم يجدون هوى من الناس وإقبالا عليهم لأنهم يوافقونهم في مبتغاهم ويرافقونهم في مراداتهم التي لا تكون منضبطة بالشرع ولا تكون مبنية على أحكامه، إنما يراد بها الاستحسان العقلي ويراد بها المصالح الموقوتة للناس في هذا المكان أو في ذاك. ومن أبرز من يمثل هذه المدرسة العقلانية العصرانية الجديدة الشيخ القرضاوي غفر الله لنا وله، وقد رد عليه عدد من أهل العلم في كتب قوية مفردة بينت، وها ما تطرق إليه من أفراد المسائل فضلا عن وهن تأصيلاته فيما يزعمه من دلائل، والله الهادي.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah continued by reading to us from the text that Sheikh Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di states, وَالْفِقْهِ. Here is the definition of fiqh. Fiqh is knowing al-ahkam, knowing the rulings and regulations, al-shara'iyya, the legislated rulings and regulations, al-far'iyya, the subsidiary or the secondary rulings and regulations, بِأَدِلَّتِهَا, based on the evidences that prove them, evidences that are gathered from al-kitab wa-sunnah wal-ijma' consensual, consensus and agreement wal-qiyas al-sahih valid analogy. I repeat, fiqh, it is recognizing and learning the religious rulings of the subsidiary branches of al-furu' al-far'iyya, the secondary branches, bi-adillatiha, with their evidences as they are found in al-kitab, the book of Allah, the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, al-ijma' and al-qiyas al-sahih, valid analogy. The Sheikh explained this statement by saying, first, we see that the Sheikh mentioned to us that fiqh, it is learning and understanding and uncovering the religious edicts and the religious rulings and regulations that are furu'a, far'iyya, meaning, he states this word to tell you that anything dealing with fiqh is not of usul, it is not of aqidah. Those are two separate issues. There are the issues of usul, such as usul al-sunnah, which we will learn, the foundations of aqidah. Then there are furu'a, the subsidiary branches, meaning the rulings and regulations that we adjust our worldly life to fulfill our obligation to the usul, to the primary belief in Allah. So therefore, any discussion of fiqh, any terminology used in fiqh, anything dealing with furu'a has nothing to do with the terminology that may be used and studied in aqidah. Two separate issues that you must be very clear in understanding. So therefore the Shaykh, when he tells you we are studying the religious rulings of al-far'iyya, the furu'a, he is telling you we are not looking at issues of aqidah. And then he continues, we derive these rulings from the book of Allah, there is consensus on this, and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all we are in agreement, and ijma', consensus of whom? The Shaykh mentions consensus after the time of the Sahaba is rare. The consensus that is usually implied by the scholars of fiqh when they say there is ijma', the primary meaning is that the Sahaba were in consensus and unanimously supported this specific verdict. So therefore that becomes a religious edict and something that is established as being the truth. And also the fourth evidentiary or legislative source of Islamic law is Al-Qiyas Al-Sahih, valid analogy. What does this mean? It means that there can be invalid analogy. And this is important. If there is a valid analogy, then there can be an invalid analogy. The Shaykh fired off a couple of lines of poetry once again, wherein he said, that which means Al-Khilaf, disagreement, cannot be warranted if it is in contradiction to the consensus. It is something. If there is consensus in an issue, you cannot go against it. So therefore we cannot go against the consensual agreement and the unanimous agreement of the Sahaba and others. He therefore continues by saying, valid qiyas is where the illah, the effective cause, the illah between two separate issues is the exact same reason, meaning the reason that this thing which has a proof from the Quran, the Sunnah or Ijma', for this thing to be valid or for this thing to be prohibited, we are using it as an analogy because the same thing, the cause of this being haram, is the same cause of this being haram. How does the Shaykh give us an example? He says drunkenness, being intoxicated. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that every intoxicant is haram. And in another place, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that al-khamr, drinking alcohol or drinking an intoxicating brew, is haram. What is the commonality between these two issues? What is the thing that makes drinking alcohol haram and anything that is intoxicating haram? What is the commonality? What is the thing that is produced from the both? Drunkenness. You can answer. Drunkenness, being in a state of losing your mind, of losing your mental faculties, is the effective cause or the illah. The illah, the effective cause of this being haram and this being haram, is that both of them produce a state of drunkenness. The Shaykh continued by saying, in the issues, the Shaykh continued by reading to us, most of the fiqh issues, when you study them from the different schools of thought, you will see that there is differing amongst the scholars in them. And al-ikhtilaf is of two types. Disagreeing in the fiqh perspective, in the fiqh, we're not talking about aqidah, we're talking about the fiqh. Disagreeing and differing with one another in matters of fiqh, one of them is the plausible or the warranted. You are warranted to disagree with your brother in something when there is proof for your position and he has proof for his position. You can't say that you are wrong because he has proof. Then there is the other type of ikhtilaf, differing, where it is unwarranted. There is no reason to differ because the opinion, the word of the Rasul ﷺ, or the word of Allah, or the ijma', or the valid qiyas is one in the issue. So why would there be disagreement? And therefore the lines of poetry, all of the khilaf cannot be warranted. Surely that which goes against the authenticity is unwarranted. That which goes against what is authentically reported, legislatively reported, is unwarranted. So therefore the Shaykh says, many people fall into error. They come to a Shaykh, someone, a scholar, and they will say to him, what is the rajih position? What is the most correct position dealing with this issue? They fail to understand that the answer given is the most decisive verdict. The most correct verdict, according to my understanding, is. Even if the Shaykh doesn't say my understanding.
This is what is implied. Because you can go to another reputable scholar and ask him and receive an equally right verdict that may differ. Both of them are correct because they are both founded upon the decisive words, the legislative words of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then the Shaykh continued by saying that the tarjih, deeming one more correct, one opinion more correct than the other, can only be established and made by the trained scholar who is validating the tarjih with religious clear proof. He says this is the correct opinion because this is where the strongest opinion is, and it does not have anything to do with the contemporary time or with the whim and desires, or that there are so many people who are asking and he caves in and he gives them the fatwa that they want to hear. All of these are unvalid reasons for a person to make something tarjih and say this is what you can do, I see that this is the correct position. In fact, we despise and we distance ourselves from those who will give edicts and give fatawa and give words and tell people this is correct based on the whims and desires or to appease and please people. And the Shaykh warns, he tells you, of those who are prominent and still alive and practicing this type of deviant tarjih is Al-Qaradawi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him, as the Shaykh made this dua. He is of those who will call people and give them the tarjih according to what he will say. We will make things easy for the people, even if it is not the strongest opinion, we'll just let it be for them because it's easier for them. This type of complacency is something that has no place in religious law, and therefore you have seen many rudud, many refutations that are knowledge based by the scholars of Al-Islam showing the mistakes of the fatawa of this particular individual and the answers to him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring him to the truth.
ثم قال المصنف رحمه الله الأحكام خمسة. والأحكام الخمسة باب يتعلق إخواني بأصول الفقه أكثر من تعلقه في الفقه، ولكن لما تكررت أو تتكرر وتتردد هذه الأحكام في كتب الفقه كان لابد من ذكرها وشرحها ولو على سبيل الإيجاز. قال الواجب، وهو أول هذه الأحكام الخمسة، وهو ما أثيب فاعله وعوقب تاركه، والحرام ضده. إذن عندنا الواجب والفرض، الفرض والواجب سيان شيء واحد، ومن فرق بينهما فتفريق صوري ليس له حقيقة اعتبارية. والحرام ضده، أي ما أثم فاعله وأجر تاركه، ما أثم فاعله وأجر تاركه. والمسنون أي ما ورد في السنة وهو المستحب، وأنا أحب أن أستعمل كلمة المستحب أكثر من كلمة المسنون، لأن بعض الناس يفهمون من كلمة المسنون مباشرة أنه ليس بواجب، وقد يكون من الأمور المسنونة شيء كثير واجبا، لكن مصطلح المسنون بحد ذاته إنما يراد به اصطلاحا معنى المستحب. فالآن عندما لو أن أحدا سأل عن اللحية، عن حكم اللحية، تقول هذه سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، أو فعلها مسنون من رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. في قولنا هذا بيان للمصدر الذي وردت فيه أو ورد فيه هذا الحكم، وليس تمييزا لها عن الواجب والفرض، بمعنى أن اللحية مستحبة وليست واجبة. لا، هذا باطل، بل هي واجبة مفروضة وإن وردت في سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. إذن استعمال المستحب في هذا المقام أقرب وأفضل. قال وهو ما أثيب فاعله ولم يعاقب تاركه، والمكروه ضده. والمكروه ضده، المكروه أيضا لا نستطيع أن نقول بأن تاركه آثم، لكن الفاعله مواقع
المخالفة للسنة ولا نقول إنه آثم إلا ما فصله بعض أهل العلم مما يسمى بالكراهة التحريمية. والكراهة التحريمية هي والحرام سواء بسواء. قال والمباح وهو الذي فعله وتركه على حد سواء. كثير من الأمور مباحة، مثلا شرب المرطبات العصير أو أكل الحلوى، هذه أمور مباحة مثلا، لا هي واجبة ولا هي مستحبة، فضلا عن أن تكون حراما أو مكروها، إنما هي مباحة إذا أكلتها أو لم تأكلها، إذا شربت أو لم تشرب، كل ذلك الفعل والترك على حد سواء. قال ويجب على المكلف أن يتعلم من الفقه كل ما يحتاج إليه في عباداته ومعاملاته. هذا هو الواجب، أن يتعلم ما يحتاج إليه. إذن تخلفه عما يحتاجه إثم أم ليس إثما؟ هو إثم. لماذا؟ لأنه تخلف عن تعلم ما يجب عليه تعلمه مما هو بحاجة إليه. لكن تعلم ما لا يحتاج إليه هل هو واجب؟ ليس واجبا، لكنه مستحب. لماذا؟ لأنه من باب الزيادة في العلم والتوفيق لأدلة الشرع. ولنضرب على ذلك مثلا، كل إنسان بالغ عاقل سوي البدن يجب عليه أن يتعلم أحكام الطهارة والصلاة والصيام، لكن هل كل بالغ عاقل سوي يجب عليه أن يتعلم أحكام الزكاة والحج؟ ليس واجبا على كل أحد. لماذا؟ لأنه قد لا يكون مالكا لنصاب الزكاة فيتعلم شيئا لا يجب عليه، إذن هو جائز له تعلم ذلك وإن كان ليس واجبا. كذلك الحج، إنسان ليس عنده مال ولا استطاعة تيسر شأنه للحج، والله يقول ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا، هل يجب عليه تعلم أحكام الحج؟ لا يجب، وإنما يستحب. لكن الكلام في دائرة الوجوب، وهذا ما يسميه أهل العلم بواجب الوقت. واجب الوقت أمر مهم جدا لا يجوز التخلف عنه. فإذا صار مع ذاك الفقير مال، ألا يجب عليه تعلم أحكام الزكاة؟ فإذا وصل حد الاستطاعة، ألا يجب عليه تعلم أحكام الحج؟ وهكذا. وأما قوله في عباداته ومعاملاته، فالعبادات والمعاملات هما يفترقان في شيء ويجتمعان في شيء. فأصل العبادة ما كان ذا صلة بين الخلق والخالق، وأصل المعاملات ما كان ذا صلة بين المخلوقين بعضهم بعضا. هذا ما يفترقان فيه. أما ما يجتمعان فيه فإن المعاملات والعبادات كليهما محتاجة إلى النية الخالصة لله والموافقة الصائبة لسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. متفق عليه. أسأل الله تعالى أن يفقهني وإياكم في الدين، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah concluded our discussion, our shortened discussion with you today, by discussing a subchapter titled Al-Ahkam Al-Khamsa, the five different levels of Islamic ruling, the five categories of Islamic ruling. The first of which is Al-Wajib, things that are compulsory. Wajib, and the Sheikh read to us, huwa, it is what a person receives a reward for performing, and a person would receive punishment for not performing. It is something that you are rewarded for acting upon it, and it's something that if you did not perform this specific deed, you would receive, and it would be counted as a sin, and you could receive punishment from Allah. والحرام ضده. Haram is the direct opposite, meaning that haram is a deed that if you perform it,
you earn and incur sin, and thus you may incur punishment. In as well, if you abstain from haram, you save yourself from sin and you earn reward. So therefore, wajib, if you perform it, you earn reward. And if you do not perform it, you earn punishment. Haram, if you perform the deed, you earn punishment. If you abstain from the deed that is haram, you earn a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the third level is... No, the third. Haram is the second. Wajib is one. Haram is the second. Wajib is the first. And then the Shaykh explains al-haram. Wajib and then haram. Wajib, and we just explained to you haram. The third is what the Shaykh titles here in the book, al-masnoon. Meaning this word is taken from the word that means it is an established sunnah. Meaning that this word, as the Shaykh uses it in the book, is equated to mustahab. Here the Shaykh paused and said, we must critique this word. In fact, we would rather say mustahab other than masnoon. Why? Because the word masnoon can be used for something that is wajib. He gives us the example of al-lihya. You are, the Rasul ﷺ, we say, it is from the sunnah. It is from the sunnah of the Rasul ﷺ. Something we take from his deeds to grow the lihya. But does that mean...